Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to the Tata Coffee Q4 FY 2019 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vismaya Agarwal from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you, Bharat. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all on behalf of ICICI Securities to Tata Coffee's Q4 and FY 2019 earnings conference call. We have with us today on the call Mr. Chacko Thomas, MD and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkataraman, ED Finance and CFO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Chacko Thomas, MD of Tata Coffee Limited, and with me is my colleague, Venkat. Before I take you through our performance for the quarter and last year, I would also like to thank the company and its board for the trust that they have placed in me. I would also like to thank my predecessor, Sanjeev, for leading the company and growing it in the last 4 years. Going forward, it would be my sincere endeavor to continue to assist our company in its journey of growth and prosperity as we move along. I'm happy to report that 2018-19 fiscal, despite all the challenges of vagaries of weather, volatility in terminals and Forex, it's been an exciting time for us here in Tata Coffee. Financial year 2018-19 has delivered a good performance, more than 14% ahead of the previous year at the PAT level. This has also been driven by a strong focus on our cost management, monetization of our non-core assets, and volume growth in our soluble coffee business. Needless to say, our continued efforts at premiumization have also paid off with the healthy freeze-dried volume growth. For the quarter ended 31st March 2019, the company reported a total income of rupees 212 crores compared to 207 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. We have also seen a significant increase in profitability with a standalone PAT for the quarter growing to rupees 12 crores compared to 4 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The company's standalone total income for the year is 756 crores compared to 762 crores of the previous year. The company's standalone PBT for the year is rupees 97.9 crores versus rupees 80.8 crores in the previous season. The profit after tax being 71.5 crores compared to 62.7 crores in the previous year. Now to some macro indicators. First, on the markets, and coffee to start with. Arabica coffee terminals dipped throughout the year and in fact hit a record 13-year low with the New York index at $1.16 per pound at the beginning of the year and then finally closing at $0.94 at the end of March 2019. It was a similar story as far as Robusta was also concerned, where the London terminal opened at $1,739 per metric tons and closed at $1,456 per metric tons. Through the year, at some point in time, the terminal had even gone as low as $1,387 per metric ton. There is an increase in the Brazilian conline Robusta production and the weakening Brazilian currency. These are the two key factors that are actually putting pressure on the prices as far as Robusta is concerned. Pepper, which is one of our focus area in our plantation segment, was impacted, and this was primarily due to the heavy and unseasonal rains that we received in South India and specifically in Coorg. The pepper industry continues to see declining prices, and this is despite the fact that there has been the pepper production drop in South India, as I mentioned earlier, because of the floods. There has been this pressure which has come on account of non-conventional trade flows of cheaper pepper, which is coming from Vietnam, aided by some illegal imports, which have actually depressed the market, despite the fact that the government has set a MIP of about 500 rupees, couple of, I think about 6-7 months back. As far as our crop is concerned, as I mentioned earlier, there had been historic high rainfall, and this had impacted the community and the people in general, and very happy that Tata Coffee stepped up to meet the community's need and ensuring safety of its employees at all times. Our production, while marginally affected by the heavy rains, was borne out by the fact that our commitment that we have towards our strong agricultural practices helped us to mitigate some of the impact of this rainfall. One of the positives because of this rainfall has also been that the irrigation tanks have been completed, and for the first time we were able to actually complete our blossom and backing irrigation with the amount of water that we've got. Our focus as far as our premiumization, which has been a journey in Tata Coffee, which we started about 3-4 years back, continues to reap rewards, and rich rewards at that, and we've been able to successfully sell almost everything that we produce as far as our washed Arabica is concerned at premium rates to some of the premium roasters in the world. We've had a setback on the tea production, especially in the Anamalai region because of, again, unseasonal rains and some of the pest attacks that that took place during this course of the year. And we are hopeful that we have come out of that issue. While some of the there has been some impact due to weather conditions, I'm very, very glad to report that we have focused our attention on what we can control, and that in terms of cost optimization initiatives across the business, we've been able to identify and implement significant productivity improvements in several areas, which has helped us mitigate this impact, and which I hope it will continue on a sustainable basis. Moving to the instant coffee division, I'm very pleased to report that our instant coffee business has recorded its highest all-time quarter volume sales, and financial year 18-19 has been a very strong year for the instant coffee division overall. The offtakes to Africa and our European geographies continue to be extremely strong, and our focus on customer acquisition in new geographies has enabled a robust and healthy order book. However, while volumes are high, the instant coffee business continues to be under margin pressures due to the current competitive scenario in the industry and the hardening rupee. The launch of our new factory in Vietnam is a significant milestone in the history of our company. Customer visits and approvals have already started, and we are confident that this will fructify into a very healthy order book in the coming quarters. We have focused on new product development and new customer acquisition to strengthen our business. We have some very significant breakthroughs in co-creating blends with marquee customers, and we've been able to enter into several new geographies, as I mentioned earlier. The market conditions, while remaining competitive in the near term due to new capacities, however, because of the demand drivers for instant coffee remaining strong, the global market is expected to expand at a CAGR of 2 to 3% through to 2023, which will be ahead of the supply growth. Tata Coffee has received several recognitions in the year, which reaffirms our faith in the strength of this core business of ours. Another significant development has been that the Tata Coffee and Indian Hotels have partnered to develop 9 heritage bungalows under the hospitality brand Ama Plantation Trains. This plantation, partnership leverages group synergies and meet the evolving needs of the patrons. Our partnership with Tata Starbucks remains strong as ever, and we are in the process of adding an additional state-of-the-art roaster in this coming fiscal to cater to the growing demand and ensure uninterrupted supply of quality coffee beans to Tata Starbucks India. It is also heartening to note that in a tough year, our employees have stepped up to contribute almost over 8,000 hours of volunteering efforts to various causes very close to their heart. Now to the consolidated results. The company reported a total income for the financial year ended 31st March 2019 at rupees 1,822 crores compared to 1,589 crores of the corresponding previous year. The consolidated profit before tax is at 170 crores, lower than 186 crores of the previous year on lower EOC profitability. It is important to note here, however, that EOC profitability was largely higher last year on account of a tax reversal of rupees 53 crores, due to the reduction in U.S. federal tax rates. Some of this impact this year was partially mitigated by improved performance in the plantation and the instant coffee business. The profit after tax of non-controlling interest is at rupees 69 crores, lowered to the rupees 107 crores of the previous year. The profit after tax of the previous year had a tax reversal of rupees 53 crores, as I mentioned earlier. And this also had the effect of some of the highest spend on brand and related costs. In summary, while we have witnessed adverse environmental factors in the past year, the strong focus on customer acquisition, cost and operational efficiencies and the ability to drive growth through our new products has led us to deliver a strong financial performance. We start the new year with a new focus on driving higher volumes in our ICD business, continued focus on replanting to improve our estate yields, and sweating our Vietnam plant. I now hand over to my colleague Venkat, who will take you through the financial performance. Over to you, Venkat.
Good morning to all analysts. So as Chaku has more or less summarized the financial the performance of the company, I just wanted to add a couple of points. One is, of course, the quarter for the quarter, TCL both standalone and consolidated had a very decent and a good quarter. The improved profitability in plantation, so last year there was an impact on account of lower crop, etc., which has been somewhat mitigated during the current year. And the company has also during the quarter received about 1 million dividends from 8 o'clock coffee. And we have declared a dividend of 1.50 rupees per share. And as far as the group is concerned, 8 o'clock has had a decent quarter. For the quarter, they are operating at the operating level, their profits have improved. And Vietnam sales, as Chaku has summarized, should be commencing soon in the current financial year. Thank you all, and we now anticipate questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Percy here. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So my first question is on the Vietnam plant. Could you give a sense on what kind of revenues could we clock from this plant in the next couple of years, given our order books, etc.? You must be having some kind of sense. If you can just give us some color on that.
So we should be targeting around, it's a 5,000 metric ton freeze-dried plant, and we expect around 400 crores of turnover in rupee terms.
That is at full capacity, right?
Yes, correct.
And you think full capacity can be reached in the next 2 years?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and once it achieves the full capacity utilization, should we expect margins there to be significantly higher than the Indian instant coffee business because it's freeze-dried?
See, we are expecting the margins to be higher compared to the Indian freeze-dried business. Whether it is significant or not, I don't want to comment. You know, let's see as we go along, but we expect the margins to be higher than the Indian business.
Okay, so when you say higher, you're talking about the Indian business including the spray-dried, or you're talking about the Indian freeze-dried business?
I am generally saying for Indian, even compared to Indian freeze-dried, we expect it Vietnam to be higher.
Okay, understood, sir. And secondly, can you give your opinion on where you see the coffee terminals headed over the next few quarters, given the drivers that you spoke about, like currency and overall global supply, etc.?
So your question, thanks, Samira. Your question was primarily on the coffee terminals as they go forward, as what we see. We see the coffee terminals to continue to be hovering around these levels. We don't see it actually, dropping further than this. Hopefully, there should be some kind of recovery that takes place because, as I mentioned earlier, these are 13-year lows, and I don't think this can be sustained both by production at these levels, especially in countries, which are large producers of coffee. So we typically, if that happens, people would go out of business. So we assume that coffee terminals, while no drop is expected further, should remain like this, and then maybe slightly towards the last quarter of this fiscal, maybe there should be some improvements.
Understood, sir. And lastly, if under the assumption that coffee terminals remain where they are, would it be a fair assumption to say that your standalone margins would also remain as where they are in Q4?
Well, it depends. So we see our portfolio is also a mix of coffee, Arabica, Robusta, pepper and all that. So obviously it also depends on the crop. See, absolute numbers, we hope it should improve because the last 2 years, if you really see, the crop has also been impacted on account of unseasonal rains and stuff like that. So which we don't expect that it will carry on for the future. So obviously, when the terminals will play a strong role, there are also other variables, including the quantum of crop, which would influence.
Yeah, just to add to what Venkat has said, there were also, as I mentioned somewhere earlier, there's a strong amount of premiumization efforts that we have actually undertaken. That would also help. So, of course, the crop, overall crop, and how the weather turns out, that would be a factor which we'll have to bear in mind.
Right, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ankit Jain from Mirai Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on 8 o'clock. If I look into, last four to five quarters, the sales has been tracking at around $40 odd million on an quarterly basis. But this quarter we saw that dipping down to almost $37 million odd. So one, if you can help help out on this. Second thing, though margins in 8 o'clock has gone up, but that is largely as came by reduction in the staff cost and the other expenditure. So can you please help me out, let's say, what all cost item has led to this sort of a margin improvement, and does it sustainable?
Yeah, just to say first on the overall turnover, the base business, as usual, you know, volumes are, you know, business, you know, there has been some pressure there due to competition intensity, etc. The base business, which is the bags business, has shown some, you know, reduction in the turnovers. But obviously, as you know, the cake up business, we entered into a, you know, renegotiated contracts, etc., which is, you know, which sort of, you know, which directionally will help us, you know, taking the, you know, 8 o'clock forward in terms of the improved margins and improved turnovers. On the overall margin improvement, there have been very, you know, a couple of points. One is, of course, on the terminals, they have some benefit. And other costs also, there have been a fair bit of good cost management in terms of overheads and, other heads. But having said that, this quarter on quarter, there will always be a, you know, kind of aberrations, because, for example, overall for the year, they have to spend more on consumer promotions and slotting fees and all that. So I probably will not be able to go strictly going by the quarter on quarter profitability, but obviously, you know, quite a few quarters will prove to be good. That's what we are hoping.
Sure. And second, on 8 o'clock, tax rate has been significantly higher this quarter. So, what is the reason?
See, it's not strictly comparable, because there was some reversal last year due to reduction of the U.S. federal rates. This year, there will be some, you know, deferred tax charge, etc., which has happened, which is all in sort of, you know, one-off.
Okay. So basically, normalized run rate, let's say, on a full year basis for 8 o'clock, tax rate, what should be built in?
It will be around 23 and 25% roughly.
Okay, sure. Thanks and all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jain Bhavania from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, due to premiumization and customer-centric approach and the differentiation that we introduced in coffee, plantation crops. Sir, can you tell us what kind of premium do we get in this premiumization, and who are the customers for this segment?
Honestly, point is, we don't want to give it little customer names and all, because they're all very, you know, private data. But I can suffice to say, I'll tell you, the premiumization, the way we look at is, one is, of course, certifications which we have, which clearly, you know, sort of, you know, differentiates us. Secondly, we also do quite a bit of, you know, for example, you know, monsoon coffee. I think a couple of quarters back, we explained about the expansion in the monsoon capacity in Mangalore and all that. So that is also helping us. So single estate coffee. So there are multiple kind of, you know, premiumization efforts which are going on. So, and we have, of course, we have all marquee customers. We don't want to name them, because obviously there are some, you know, kind of, you know, confidentiality data and all that. But having said that, you know, margins are definitely, you know, we extract quite a bit of premium in with respect to terminals by all these efforts. And we take pride that much of our coffee, a large percentage, 60-70%, would be going through the, you know, premiumized routes.
So what will be the differential pricing, and what is the segment of customer? They are these coffee retail chain shops or these coffee parlors?
No, they all will be roasters. So when we say, you know, we concentrate on the roasters.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what will be the differential pricing in terms, percentage terms?
So that will be difficult, Samir. So why, I mean, because it won't be, you know, right for us to say, but we are definitely, the premiumization should be in, you know, high double digits, roughly in the range of, you know, mid to high, sort of, you know, double digits compared to terminals.
Uh-huh.
This is a rough indication, as
an
off the cut.
Sir, at what percentage is premiumization coffee segment is growing?
Around 70 odd.
You are asking about the overall growth in premiumization segment, or?
Yeah.
So roughly
20 to 25% is what?
Yeah, premium is for us will be in the range of 60-70% of it. The coffees would be premiumized, and it would be growing only. That's what we are trying to, you know, focus on how to grow this further.
So overall this year, 8 o'clock coffee sales is up. So what was the volume growth during this quarter and overall full year?
Oh, no, but that is a difficult. See, the overall, the you know, I mean, there's definitely the volumes in the base overall business would have, you know, it'd be difficult to say in that manner, because 8 o'clock itself consists of base business, which is a bags business, and they also have the, you know, K-Cups business plus some private label. So base, I would say that the base business more or less is flat. The other businesses, the K-Cups etc., would be on a directionally on a growth path.
Sir, the coffee prices have touched 13 years low. Even why we are not able to make money in 8 o'clock, which is a branded business actually?
So for the quarter we have improved, you know, as I mentioned. See, for the quarter, the operational performance of 8 o'clock has improved by a variety of measures. But then we also got to realize, see, they have a market share of maybe 5-6% overall. But in the sense, so there's obviously there's a lot of competition intensity on which they have to continuously invest behind the brand. And so directionally, as we see, 8 o'clock is on a growth path overall, but then I don't think we can judge it in a matter of 1 or 2 years.
So how was the coffee plantation production this year as compared to last year in terms of volumes?
So in terms of the last year, if you say the season 18-19, there has been improvement in the Robusta and overall coffee production. But as previous year, there was adverse impact on account of huge unseasonal rains, etc. But this year also we had some impact on pepper. Obviously, pepper has been impacted due to quite a bit of unseasonal rains and all that. But overall, coffee has been up. Pepper has been impacted, but hopefully we don't expect it to be repeated, and it should be back to more improvements in the current financial year.
So how Tata Coffee Grand is doing in the domestic market?
Tata Coffee Grand is still in the, while the volumes have improved, I have shown a trend, so they have also gone into institutional segment, hot tea, hot coffee shops and all that, but obviously it will take some more time.
But there is a
definite improvement.
Okay. So last question, there is an increase in goodwill from 1128 crore to 1197 crore.
That's only exchange. There's nothing but the exchange.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sameer Raj from Reliance Nippon Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Kinjal speaking.
Yes,
Sir, just to understand on the plantation front first, how much kind of a volume decline would we have seen this full year because of, the weather-related issues that, has impacted the industry?
In higher, actually. 10 to 15, yeah. So roughly it would be in the range of 10 to 15% Kinjal.
Okay. And, sir, second thing is, so one, of course, expecting that the weather impact would not be as much this year or would not be at all, we would see that our volume should come back to FY18 levels?
Yeah, it should be.
That's what we expect.
Okay. So even without, so what I'm trying to get at is that excluding any unseasonal impact, even excluding not seeing the terminals move up, we should see volume come back, and that would help some kind of an operating leverage on the margin front.
Yeah, absolutely, on the coffee side, and pepper also is much more to watch, because this year we had a significant, quite a bit of impact on account of pepper, which we hope it will get corrected in the coming years. Because we, as a company, as we have reported Kinjal earlier also, we have been investing quite a bit behind the pepper, because which we see as a growth vertical for us. Obviously, that's something which we are keenly watching, and this year should be better.
Sure, that's great to hear. And also, just on the 8 o'clock front, now given the fact that one would expect, you all have expecting that the coffee terminals would remain at these levels, and not decline further, the competitive intensity in 8 o'clock would continue to remain on the higher end. So from a company point of view, what are we doing, to kind of counter the competition out there, and, also kind of some understanding on how the margins would look in this situation?
Sir, I don't want to comment on margins, but actually what is happening is definitely there is lot, first one is of course on the new product development and what kind of new variants variants and new blends, which remains a focus for us. So that you will see, last time we have reported about Brazil, breakfast infusions and all that. So those kind of improved new product development, which will come into the market, will happen. Secondly, competition intensity will continue to remain there. That, we'll have to invest behind the brand. Obviously, that is something. And 8 o'clock, as you know, Kinjal, has been a steady performer. So, for example, we have, been consistently, as the standalone is concerned, 4 to 5 million of dividend we get annually, which is a substantial number for us. So, the performance of 8 o'clock over the period has been stable. Though they may not have, I won't say that they have grown, but they have also been trying to, introduce newer blends, newer variants, and then probably looking at the K-Cup opportunity, which directionally is the right way to go. But obviously, it's too short a time frame for us to look at that, and private label business. So there have been a multiple, multiple city of initiatives which has been taken by 8 o'clock in this, which we hope will pay off in the coming years.
Sure, sir. That's great. And just one last thing for the Vietnam plant. Could you just help me once again with the CAPEX number that we would have spent in total?
The CAPEX would be roughly in the range of $55 million USD, Kinjal.
Okay. And the commissioning has started. So Q4 numbers would have seen the impact of new plant.
Q4, actually, we haven't, because as I told, the factory itself was unveiled somewhere in mid-Feb or something.
Mid-March.
So obviously, it is in the process of stabilization. We just have to, the plant trials are going on and customer visits have started. So there's nothing much, I would say, significantly to report as such. That the plant is now ready, and once the customer orders come, we'll start executing.
Okay, but the official commissioning has started. Yes. Maybe a lot of revenue has not come into this quarter.
Correct, correct.
But from a balance sheet point of view, we would have accounted for the CAPEX, etc.
First, the whole capitalization, etc., will get concluded this quarter, in 1920
okay.
quarter. And then, of course, we are ready to execute orders as they come along.
Because
obviously, it's a made-to-order business, as you are aware.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kevalpreet Singh from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Yes.
So just wanted to get a sense, the Vietnam plant, what kind of utilization can we expect in this year?
This year will be in the range of around 70-odd%.
70% utilization.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Sir, and these sales of freeze-dried coffee, would there be bulk sales, or would there also be some sort of packaging and smaller packs which will be shipped?
No, both. It will be a mix of both. Initially, to start up, it could be bulk sales, but then we'll also get into SKU sales and all that for private label players as we go along.
Okay, so but that would be expected this year?
Yeah, partly may be expected, because it will obviously take some time. But then we hope that, because that's where the little better margins are there. You start off with the bulk route and then move into SKUs as you go along.
Okay, right. Sir, any of these sales from Vietnam would also contribute to 8 o'clock?
No, nothing. 8 o'clock is buys only, in Arabica from Brazil origins and all that. They have to RNG play, so they don't, there's nothing the instant coffee side, they won't be buying.
So 8 o'clock instant coffee would be made from India?
They will use the beans, they will use the beans from Brazil, Latam and all that. So they don't use instant coffee per se.
Okay. So just, maybe I'm mistaken about this, but 8 o'clock also has an instant coffee portion to the sales, right?
Very marginal.
Okay, right, sir. Sir, and the customers which would be serviced from Vietnam, are they new customers or are they similar to existing customers from India?
There will be a mix and match of both. There will be new customers, newer geographies, but as well as the existing customers. Because it's a large market, so obviously, we have only a 2,000 metric ton in from India. So obviously, this is a larger plant. So obviously, there will be, existing customers who cannot be serviced out of India, we will be servicing out of Vietnam.
Okay, so for existing customers, at least there would be some sense on what volumes are required for them, right?
Yeah, definitely. We have already started a lot of getting interest and visits and all that.
Okay, right. Right, sir, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, you mentioned in the opening remarks that the coffee overall demand is growing by 2 to 3%, and despite that, you mentioned in the somebody's question that we expect the prices to remain around at this level and it might see some sort of a recovery. So what makes you think that prices will not improve despite it being at 13-year low and, you know, the demand on the other side is expected to be growing?
Yes, so one clarification there, Amit. I was talking about the IC growth, instant coffee growth. So the 2 to 3% which I spoke about was instant coffee growth. And that keeping up pace with the overall capacities being added. So that is one clarification I thought I'd give you.
And on the prices, terminals, etc., see, we look at the business like this, Amit. One is our green coffee business, which is consists of our plantation produce, which is Arabica and Robusta, which we produce around 6,000 tons. Close to 8,000 tons we produce on Arabica and Robusta. That's the instant coffee side of the business. So both are a little different in that sense, the way approach, because instant coffee imports beans from, you know, African origins and, you know, Vietnam and all that for Indian business. And for plantation produce, we are on the sell side. Okay. Where the terminals are directly, you know, kind of impacting us. So one is, of course, on the green side, we will probably be losing if the terminals go down. And we also make up in the instant coffee business where we import beans. Okay, so we are, you know, sort of looking at both sides. So as we, you know, see, and then we don't use our own produce for instant coffee business, so we always import. So obviously, so while the lower terminals may impact plantation, some benefit will obviously come to the instant coffee side. And we also see, so both businesses are seen in its own, on its own merits. So that's where it is.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that, you know, in terms of premiumization, you know, probably we might be at a slightly double digit or 10-12% sort of a thing advantage compared to the terminal level price. So overall, what would be our component of premiumization of our total sales?
It will be roughly around 70 odd percent.
Okay. So would you want to say that we, as an industry, we would be enjoying higher margins as compared terminal prices significantly?
That's on the plantation side of the business, where this intermediation and premiumization is very largely valued. On the instant coffee side, yes, we have all the three portfolios, spray, agglo, and freeze. Where freeze is the most premium, which we are sort of, you know, trying to bet on.
Okay. And the last question on the new plant, the Vietnam plant, you mentioned that you anticipate that 60-70% capacity utilization might happen this year, 19-20. And we believe that orders will start flowing in. So nothing has kicked in as of yet. So you believe that significant orders will start pumping in and immediately?
In a phased manner, it will start coming. See, we have just started unveiled the plant. So we expect in a phased manner, the order book will start filling up, which is what our experience has been in the Indian plant as well.
This is a cycle time around acquisition of customers from tasting to approvals.
Okay, sir. Okay, wish you all the very best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Mutada from Equitas Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello, sir. So you have mentioned that we have sold some non-core assets during the year. So what would be the total amount of that sale?
It will be around 16 crores or so.
Okay, 15, 16 crores. Then do we plan to monetize some more assets?
It depends because it all depends. So I hope we don't want to
comment on that.
On it, but obviously, if we see something non-core which is not, you know, which is surplus to our requirement, we start looking at it.
Right. We have more non-core assets, right? That's what I'm asking. That we can monetize going ahead.
There could be, yes, there could be.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may please press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Nair from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, on 8 o'clock, just wanted to understand our outlook on growth there, because I believe we were, in terms of distribution, we were there in a few geographies, and there is a lot of headroom just by expanding our distribution. So just wanted to hear your views on this.
Yeah, we are definitely looking at more deepening the distribution. We are definitely looking at. See, there is a brand side where we have to invest behind the brand as we go along, especially in the wake of extreme competition intensity. There is also an opportunity in terms of expanding the reach and the distribution. So both are being simultaneously looked at.
Mm-hmm. And secondly, on instant coffee, sir, I mean, in your sense, how's the demand and supply scenario now? Because we keep on hearing reports of overcapacity coming up in instant coffee, especially in freeze-dried. So what's your sense of the demand-supply equation currently?
So obviously, see, this is a, you know, changing phenomenon. So, you know, we expect some amount of 1 or 2 years' time there could be supply kind of, you know, mismatch, supply-demand mismatch could be there. But as we move along, instant coffee has been growing in the 2 to 3%. So we don't expect that as a factor. And secondly, as we focus on more premiumization of the blends and you know of the production, so we don't feel that as a significant impact in the see, there could be some impact in the short term, but medium to long term we don't see that. We see that as a growth engine.
Okay. And sir, can you share current realizations? What are they like? Or what's the difference currently between spray-dried and freeze-dried for us?
So that is difficult to say, Manshu. That we, I don't think it's fair to say, because freeze-dried would be, you know, premium at the peak of the listing. So I don't want to comment on the price movement between spray and freeze. You have to understand spray, aglo, and freeze. That's the way the prices and prices and margins would be going up.
Correct. All right, sir. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kevalpreet Singh from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking another question from my side. So I just wanted to get a sense. You said that the global market for instant coffee is growing at 2 or 3%. But with the addition of capacity by yourself and competitors, and the utilization levels, as you said, might be quite high in the first year only and going forward. Just want to get a sense as to what is leading to such significant ramp up in capacity. What differentiates Tata Coffee to ramp up at such a fast pace? Like, there would be some time, right, when the growth would moderate. So how long do you see this?
The point is like this, Kiran. You see, people announce capacities, and you know, we have been hearing about all these. It would take some time for these capacities to come into play, because that's always, there's a long time gap, because the setting up a freeze-dried plant or of a instant coffee, soluble coffee plant takes about 18 to 20 odd months. So we are talking of a long time frame within which things change. So meanwhile, the demand keeps on growing. So obviously, we are quite up, sort of the buoyant on the demand side of the business. And as we go along, hopefully there will be some kind of meeting point on which we will, we all hope to capitalize on.
And also, just to add to what Venkat has said, I think he had mentioned earlier also, in terms of the type of customers and the type of customer acquisition work that we actually do. This in terms of the new product development that we do, we actually do something which is totally customized for a particular set of customers. And that includes, like for example, our Vietnam plant actually has got one of its kind pilot a pilot plant, which lends itself beautifully for doing any kind of experiments that the customer needs. So these are the kind of things which we bring onto the table, which others will not be able to do. And you need to be there with the customer. You need to give him that sense of comfort that you are able to meet all of the requirements. So we feel that we're very good at being able to do all the NPD work that we need to do, and with all the pilot plant which I spoke about, we should be in a good space to address all this.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the detailed response. Just an additional question. So in the coffee market, like, as I understand, the first wave of coffee has always been instant coffee, right? But the traditional markets of Europe and US are not growing that fast. Probably Asia is growing faster or other developing countries. Given that Vietnam is in a strategic location, do you see a new market developing in countries like China or other Asian countries which may not be producers and processors themselves?
Yes, we also are seeing the same trends as you are noticing. So obviously, we are also sort of, you know, looking at all those. So some new geographies which, for example, you know, we are also as the existing business itself, we have got white spaces which we are trying to sort of address, which includes Europe and some other South Asian countries. Yeah, Southeast Asian countries.
Okay, so can you give an indication as to what percentage of your sales might come from Asia presently?
Now, currently it's not, I won't say it is, you know, it is very, you know, kind of moderate. So, hopefully we going forward, it will be higher.
Yeah.
Okay, right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Madan, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on the opening of the Vietnam plant. My question is related to the terminal prices, particularly in Robusta, that we see have gone quite low. And one of the contributing factors has been the steady increase in supply coming out of Vietnam in recent years. So now that we have a presence in Vietnam, even though it's not in plantation, there has been some news reports that plantation owners are distressed in Vietnam that might lead to a supply gradual reduction from that country as farmers are moving into other crops or considering moving into other crops. So I would like your feel for what is the situation on the ground there on this front.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Samir. So I think you're bang on. Just a couple of points that I thought I would add on here. Vietnam production has been constantly on the rise, but if you really were to see the big difference that, especially in Robusta, the big difference which has happened in the last year has been the phenomenal increase of conline, or the Robusta production, as it is called in Brazil, which has actually come in. So one of the reasons why the Robusta prices, you know, have crashed is primarily because of the increased production of Brazilian conlines. That being one. The second part, you're absolutely right. There is distress not just amongst coffee planters in Vietnam, but also pepper planters in Vietnam, because there is a sense that there is a fairly high quantum of Robusta and pepper which is available and coming out of these areas. So your observations on some of the people moving away from cultivating this is also fairly accurate. Now, we feel that there would be consolidation. We feel that there would be, the people who are able to actually produce quality coffee with the differentiation part of it built into it would be the people who would actually, do well in these depressed markets. So that's the kind of response I would have. If there is anything else which I could contribute, I'd be happy to.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Amit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. What would be the break-even point for the Vietnam plant?
We'll come back to you, sir. Amit, we'll come back to you on that. We don't want to say as of now, but we'll just keep pass the question right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may please press star and one. on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ruchir Kumar, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. You mentioned the IC growth at 2%. Do you think more efforts towards brand building will have a positive impact on growth in light of strong competition and also probably help address margin-related concerns?
Thank you, Ruchir. It was a very interesting question. While brand building loosely in terms of the B2B business would largely involve all that I spoke about in terms of, you know, being able to provide to the customer exactly what he wants, you know, to be able to give him at the lowest cost possible, as being as cost competitive as possible. So definitely what I see on a larger scale, what is required would be A, provide different variants which are as cost competitive as possible to these people. There is obviously a rub off in terms of the delivery that you give the customer, the frequency and the, you know, the way that you're able to go and deliver these products. That of course contributes a large in a large way. So it is largely the premium products, largely the new products that you're able to develop, and largely the connect that you have with your various customers who are actually large, either large players in the private label business or, you know, have their own brands, which contribute or which we feel would contribute towards, you know, us standing out from the crowd.
Thank you. That answers. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Percy here again. Sir, on the Vietnam plant, you mentioned it's a 5,000-ton capacity and you're targeting 400 crores of sales. So that would derive average realization of about 800 per kilo, right? But my understanding is that the market price is more like 550 to 600.
No. I don't think.
It can't be, you know, I don't think.
You cannot extrapolate.
Because see, this all depends on, you see, for example, bulk, SKU, so many things are there, no? So I don't think that way you can
extrapolation would be the right thing.
But sir, from your India plant, whatever sales you are doing for freeze-dried, what is the average realization of that currently?
Number varies, you know, depends on each quarter and each customer and all that.
And your large SKU.
But sir, average will not change that drastically, right?
No, I don't think we should be able to reveal much at this stage, Percy.
Okay, sir.
Plan to, to start, civilizing, then we'll come back.
But is there any reason to believe that the realization in Vietnam will be different from India, the freeze-dried part?
We expect there'll be better premiums to the areas, definitely.
And is that because there'll be different customers or some other reason?
New customers,
product,
new geographies, new all product, put together.
New products in the new state-of-the-art factory which has got new machinery, all these will contribute to a better product.
So this assumption of 800, that holds true even if the coffee terminals stay where they are today?
See, as I said, it's an average, you know, what I told you. So obviously there will always be, you know, depending on prices and all. We also got to look at margins per se, no? So for us, both are very important.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Budada from Equitas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you just repeat the Arabica terminal prices and Robusta terminal prices, which are the current prices?
Yeah, so the prices as end of March was about 94 cents per pound. And as we speak, it's hovering around 96, 97 cents is what the thing is. And as of end of March, the Robusta terminals were about 1450. It is around the same levels, around slightly shy of, shy of 1500. Maybe slightly above 1500, I think.
Okay. And one more thing, sir. So in our Vietnam freeze-dried plant, what kind of margins do we expect? Do we expect EBITDA margins to be around 18-20% level?
No, we don't want to comment right now. So we'll wait for some time.
Okay. But just higher margins than the Indian freeze-dried.
Yeah, that's what we expect here.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jagwani from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Currently, Indian freeze dried, what are margins like?
See, we don't want to give out these margins and all that, Rahul. See, let's
give some range at least.
It's quite difficult to say, you know, we don't want to because customer-wise it will be different and all that. So we'd like to avoid.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you very much, and we hope to be online again end of first quarter with better tidings.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.